Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
This is Fred Film Radio, and I'm Sarah Bradbury reporting from the 69th Berlin Film Festival. Today I'm here with director Damon Gameau to discuss his documentary film, 2040. Damon, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Pleasure.
Congratulations on a really wonderful, creative, eye-opening documentary. Maybe you could just start by telling me how you came up with the concept for this, 2040, and why you wanted to make a film about this particular topic.
I think it was just a bit of an antidote to all the doom and gloom dystopian narratives about the future that we find at the moment in the media or even in Hollywood films. Any world we see in the future is often cold and austere and robotic, and there's no nature anywhere. And I just felt like, you know, there is another option. We don't have to just march blindly into that future, that it's important to throw up different visions of the future, especially around the climate, which feels a bit hopeless at the moment, and people don't really know what to do, that there are solutions and there are great people doing amazing things around the world. Can we shift that spotlight away from the fear and the doom and gloom and put it onto promoting these people that are doing great things?
And you say in the film, you call it like fact-based dreaming. So I love this concept that you're not sort of being hypothetical about what possibilities could be there in the future, but you're really trying to say things that are tangible, things that are already happening, and how we can bring this together. So is that a really important aspect?
Yeah, that was. I think it would be really an exercise in bad parenting if I was saying to my daughter, hey, everything's going to be great, and look at this, you'll be fine. It was really important to say anything I show her in that future has to exist now. I actually can't make anything up. It just has to be an extrapolation of what we're already doing. And again, try and get people to invest in it, or governments to create policies around it, or get the public to start talking about it. And if we did, this is the result we'd get in the future.
And where did you get the ideas for these kind of like quirky little playful moments of the animations? You make it look very fluid and smooth in the film, but I'm sure that obviously took a lot behind the scenes to do that. So how did you decide on that approach, and what was the sort of mechanics of making that work?
So I think the first film I made was called That Sugar Film, and we had quite a good impact because it was playful and light. And I think sometimes, you know, documentaries can fall into a trap where they're, you know, they're quite earnest and reverent, and I love them, I watch them all the time. But if we really want to engage a family and get a conversation going in the family, I think it's important to have elements of fun and playful. I think people are more open to learning and listening when they're engaged. There's something new to look at, and it's not just a talking head behind some books. It's like, oh, where's that person now? And you're activating a different part of your brain, which I think helps to listen and absorb the information more. So I know I learn best when I'm in a light state and I'm laughing and enjoying something. I'm likely to retain that information. So that's just an approach that I took, and makes it fun to make. And I just hope it's an enjoyable theatre experience for people, and then they go home and talk about it with their family in the car on the way home.
And so did you have to work with a team of people to kind of create these animations?
Oh, that was an absolute heroic team effort to put this film together. We had all sorts of designers, but really great conversations about what does this city look like, or how would your driverless car look, or, you know, what would rooftop gardens look like in a city. They were really fun discussions to have. And our special effects team, we had about 15 people working on the film, and they were all under 25, and it was so great to see how engaged they were in making this. And a lot of them make horror films, or they do, you know, Coke commercials all the time. So to have them so engaged in designing their future was really one of the best parts of making this film. It's just to see the collaborative approach that everyone really embraced.
And you're traveling around the world, you're speaking to all these different people. Out of that experience, was there one particularly challenging moment or something that was quite shocking to you? But then, what might have been some of the highlights, the moments that you really sort of felt very kind of profoundly positive about the future?
Well, it's interesting because both of those things kind of occurred with the kids, these beautiful kids that we interviewed around the world. I'd have moments where I feel like really upset because I think, you know, these little kids shouldn't know this, they shouldn't be talking about this, and they're scared of their future and what's happening to the world, and that brought a huge sadness to me. But at the same time, the next moment, I think, wow, once they get power, once they're able to vote and make decisions, they're just going to do wonderful things. And I feel that's a real hope, is that this generation coming through have a whole different set of cultural norms and values that we did when we were younger. They really do value the earth, and they want clean oceans, and they want us to look after animals. And I feel like that's a very powerful part of the film. And I guess ultimately I ended up feeling very hopeful about what we can achieve. I didn't at the start. I went into it quite nervous and scared, but I think once you do stop constantly looking at this negative media that comes out of, you know, who you follow on social media. That can be quite destructive. When you turn away from that, you realise that there is the majority of humanity really care about this topic, and they're creative and they're passionate, and they want to create change. So I just think we have to tell those stories instead of constantly telling the stories of how bad everything is.
One of the bits that I sort of found quite, you know, sinister is seeing how there is this movement, you know, climate change skepticism, trying to combat, like, give out misinformation. And, you know, how much is that actually one of the biggest concerns in a way, because that's going to be dampening people's drive to try and improve things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are people that have done really interesting research on this, and sort of the amount of money that's spent, it's almost $1 billion a year, is spent on this propaganda to create this denial. And that's no doubt creating an action, and people don't know who to believe anymore. And, oh, is this science real? And that has just, they've done it brilliantly, and good on them. They've done a great job, but it's really created a lot of destruction. And I think once people understand those tactics and how they're being manipulated, then they get fired up and they want to create change. And we found that in sugar. Once people learnt the tactics of the food industry and how they're being manipulated, people wanted to change. So I reckon we've got the solutions, but we also need to understand that there are huge blocks to us doing those solutions.
How much do you feel, I guess, with Trump in power in the US, one of the biggest economies in the world, and he's definitely got a policy which has is going against so many of the positive steps we've already taken in climate change combat. So how much is him being in power and that kind of discourse is going around him one of the most dangerous things?
It is, I think, if you just follow his tweets and see what he's doing, yes, and what he's rolling back in terms of environmental protections, it's horrible. But at the same time, you're seeing this incredible rise of more localised, the mayors of America that are coming together, sort of the state government, what they're doing to create more renewable projects, or places like Texas. That's where you get excited, is that people realise they're not going to get what they want at that top federal level, so they're actually empowering themselves at a local level to take action. And that's, again, where we should be really excited. So if enough of that starts to happen around the world, we will create change. But if you just keep waiting for the top person to make the decisions, we're not going to get anywhere. And I feel like our technology is also mirroring that now, that we're not living in this era of everything being centralised and our energy and our finance. We're now starting to decentralise, like those grids in Bangladesh, where we can actually share things laterally as opposed to having these top-down hierarchical structures.
What was the impact of that sugar film? Mm. And what do you hope the impact of this one to be? Mm. More broadly, how do you see the role of film prompting discussion and hopefully provoking change?
Great question. Sugar changed my life in terms of how I see what film can do, and see how once you arm people with information and empower them, they're capable of anything. And I feel that's what's been missing in the climate area, is that people don't know how to engage with it. It's a bit too existential, it's a bit too scary to engage with. So I hope that the film, again, shows that there are things we can do. Come and watch it with your family the same way you watch sugar. Here's a list of things you can do at home. There's a book coming out, but there's an online platform just to arm people with ways to make a difference, because I think people are ready, they just don't know what to do.
And how did Velvet react to your film? Do you think she's excited for 2040?
She hasn't seen it yet. She's just turned 5, and she's very much in Mary Poppins' Chitty Chitty Bang Bang Land. So I'm not quite ready to pull her out of that beautiful utopian bubble just yet and share with her what's actually going on in the world. So I'll do that in the next couple of years, but I just want to hold off for now.
Can you quickly tell us what topic you might take on next afternoon?
We've got some support in this project to really push for the next couple of years and create a lot more content, so I feel like I'll stay in this space for a while, and it's hard to imagine what else you could do once you really learn what's going on. We just need more people to make films in this space, so I think it will fit under this umbrella. It might be more talking to power. We had a big section in the film that shows what the blocks are to getting to this 2040, so I feel like there might be more films within that space.
All right, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for sharing all that with
us.
And congratulations on a really compelling, brilliant documentary.
Thanks so much.
From the 69th Berlin Film Festival, I'm Sarah Bradbury for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.